Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a accident that we have this reading from Jeremiah in chapel this morning. I was assigned to preach on this text from Jeremiah earlier in the semester. I think it was February 3rd. We had a snowstorm and an ice storm, and they canceled chapel. And I said to the dean of chapel, I said, is it okay that the next time I come up, is it okay if I preach on the same text? And he said, sure. So it's an accident that we have this reading. But it's a beautiful accident in the kingdom of God. Because Jeremiah is talking about his call. And if there is anything that I can tell you for sure today, is that people are talking about their calls. And so what I would like to do, what I would invite you to do, is to listen to Jeremiah. Because I believe he offers us a guide to our conversations, and he gives us an experience of grace. Jeremiah offers us a guide to our conversations. Now I know you really don't need guides. You have had more than enough meetings and convocations and workshops on pre-vicarage and pre-call, and you've had all of the pastoral counsel you can remember. So it would be very easy not to listen to Jeremiah as a guide. But I would invite you to, because Jeremiah knows one thing. Jeremiah knows how quickly that external call of your dreams can become an internal spiritual nightmare. It happens so quickly. Look at the text. How does it start out? It starts out with the physical landscape of the call. People, places, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of those priests living in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin, before he went to the reign of King Josiah. Right? People, places, very simple, very clear. The days and the times and the calls of Jeremiah. This is the physical landscape, but suddenly it turns from a physical landscape of a call to a spiritual wilderness for Jeremiah. Jeremiah is caught in this tension between the sky of God's promises and the earth of his inabilities. The sky of God's promises. Do you hear it? The Lord God said to me, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah hears the sky of God's promises. This is the Lord, the God of all creation. He doesn't wait to see what leaders might arise among his people. He doesn't take whatever the world offers him and try to make them into pastors and prophets. No, this God forms his own. He forms them in the womb. This is the God of all creation who is speaking. And not only is he the God of all creation, he dwells in eternity. Before you were born, he says, I knew you. Before the world was made, God knew Jeremiah. This God of all creation, who dwells in eternity, is the Lord of all nations. And he sends Jeremiah not to Jerusalem, not to Judah. He sends Jeremiah to all of the nations, to Ashkelon and Ashdod, to Egypt and Edom, to Tyre and Sidon. The God of all creation, who dwells in eternity and is the ruler of all nations, takes Jeremiah from Anathoth and sends him to the kingdoms of the world. Jeremiah hears the sky of God's promises. But what does he feel? He feels like dirt, because he is struggling between the sky of God's promises and the earth of his inability. Listen to what he says. Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am only a youth. Seeing the power of God, he recognizes his weakness. Seeing the fullness of God, he sees his emptiness, and he's lost in that spiritual wilderness. Now, we'll get back to the text, but I just want to take a moment to meditate on that place of wandering. In case you should ever be there, it's a terrifying place. I remember a sermon I once preached where the only thing I wanted to do when I finished that sermon was run and hide. It was my first sermon. Not the one I did in HOM class, not the one I rehearsed again and again and again, and then I did in a congregation. That one I had done, and it was wonderful. I tasted the sky of God's promises. But then my field education supervisor called me up in the middle of the week. He said, I've got this funeral I need to attend. It's extended family, and I'm going to be gone. I was wondering if you could take the service. It's a summer service. There's no sacrament. And it's just one service. Could you take it for me? And I said, sure. Here am I. Send me. I've seen the sky of God's promises. And so this is the first sermon I ever wrote by myself. I asked my field supervisor, do you want to see it? He said, no, I'm going to be gone. I'm sure it'll be okay. Well, it was not okay. It was bad. And you know, there's nothing worse than preaching a sermon that you know is bad. Well, actually, there is something worse. What's worse is preaching a sermon that you know is bad, and while you're preaching it, you realize you had no clue how bad it could be. That's the sermon I preached. And when I finished, all I wanted to do was run and hide. My parents had come with me to the service, and they were my excuse. I told everybody, I got to go. My parents are out in the car. I grabbed my robe. I grabbed my things. I went to the car. I opened the back door, threw the stuff in. I sat in the car. I shut the door, and I said, well, glad that's done. It wasn't a comment. It was a question. It was a cry for help. Because the sky of God's promises had met the earth of my inabilities. And the question just hung there. And then my mom sighed. Not a good thing. My own mother. And my own mother, she didn't look at me, she just stared straight ahead. She said, well, let's hope they're not all like that. The first sermon I preached, I was lost in the wilderness and I wanted to hide. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Sitting in a class on pastoral care in the Word, you hear the professor talk about a pastor who's counseling a family, who has a child, who has gender dysphoria, and you listen to what that pastor said. And it's so true and yet so loving. That it's beautiful, and it inspires you to want to be like that. And then you go to lunch, and you're sitting there talking, and topic of sports comes up. People are talking about sports. Somebody mentions transgender athletes. You tell a joke, and everybody laughs. But when you walk home, you cry. Because the sky of God's promises have just met the dirt of your inability, your dirt. And you want to run and hide. If that happens, turn to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is a guide. He's a guide to a conversation, not a conversation with others. He's a guide to a conversation with God. Notice what Jeremiah does. He doesn't run and hide. He doesn't stand there stoically and endure this emotion until it passes by. He's got more emotional intelligence than that. And he doesn't complain to others. What Jeremiah does is he takes everything that he is and he brings it before God. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am only a youth. Did you hear that? Behold, see." Do you see the irony here? Prophets, right? Prophets are seers. They see and they say. God gives them visions. They see, they say them. Jeremiah, right after this, is going to have a vision of an almond branch. And he's going to have a vision of a boiling pot pointed away from the north. Prophets see and they say, and yet the first word out of the mouth of this prophet that God has made calls on God to see. Oh, Lord God, see what you've got here. Look at my mess. See me. And that's when you have an experience of grace. Because God sees. And God not only sees, but he touches. And God not only sees and touches, but he touches the very thing that Jeremiah is afraid of. He touches his mouth. And he not only sees, he not only touches his mouth, but then he says that word of promise, "I am with you. Do not be afraid." The God who comes to Jeremiah is the God who can take that which is foolish and use it to shame the wise, take that which is weak and use it to shame the strong. He takes that which is broken and discarded and trampled on by people, and he uses it to bring life into his kingdom. Because the ministry does not begin in your abilities. It doesn't begin in your age or your wisdom, your ability to speak. It begins in an experience of grace. And there is no one who will ever be lost in the spiritual wilderness, because this God of creation, who dwells in eternity and is a ruler of all nations, has sent his Son into that wilderness to find you. When Jesus hung on that cross, he was suspended between the sky of God's promises and the earth of our inabilities. He died with the dirt of our inabilities on his feet and under his fingernails, and God raised him up. This one who created the world, God raised him up so he could begin a new creation and take your dirt and transform it into the fertile soil of God's kingdom. And Jesus says, "See me. I am with you. Do not be afraid." When I first started teaching here about 27 years ago, I taught a course called evangelism. And in the course, we had this immersion experience. It was a whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We take students to usually Christ Memorial in Afton. We take students there, and they would knock on doors of people they did not know and tell them about Jesus. professors kind of joked about this. They called it Ding Dong for Jesus. And I mean, you know, it probably wasn't the best idea, but I figured at least it developed their prayer life. You know, right? You're going to adore someone you don't know, you're going to be praying. So it was the first day of class. I handed out the syllabus. I told him about the immersion experience. And after the class was over, I'm walking down the hall, and there's a student standing outside. And he said, "Professor Schmidt, could I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "It's about the evangelism weekend." Now, I thought he was going to say he couldn't make it. And I was going to say, "No, you are going to make it. You're not going to pass the class." So that's what I thought the conversation was going to be. But he looked at me, and he said, "I think there's something you should know." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, I never have shared my faith with anyone before. Now, my head was against him. It really was. I'm like, didn't you read the job description of a pastor, right? My head was against him, but when I looked in his eyes, my heart was for him. He was lost in that spiritual wilderness, and he was doing what Jeremiah has called us to do. He was saying, 'Professor, see me.' And God gave me the beautiful opportunity to point him to Jesus, who was with him, so he didn't need to be afraid." I said to him, I really don't know you. Where are you from? He was from Chicago. I had done my ministry there. We had some conversation about Chicago. We talked about his high school, his college, talked about church and where he went and how that went and what it was like to be a Christian in college and all that kind of stuff. And as we're talking, all of a sudden he looks at me and he smiles and he says, "I see what you're doing." I pretended I was stupid. I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, you're getting me to share my faith." And I said, "Right." And he said, "Gosh, God's been with me a long time. I wish I had thought of this passage, because I would have said, yeah, from eternity. This God, who is the God of all creation, who dwells in eternity and the ruler of all nations, has called you. He has sent his Son to die and rise to work with you and through you. So this morning, come, see Jesus. He is here with you. Do not be afraid." Amen.